Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. Psalm 17:4. By the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. Psalm 17:4. By the word of your lips, I have kept my way from the path of the destroyer. Psalm 17:4. Psalm 37:28. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Psalm 37:28. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They're preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. Psalm 37:28. Proverbs 8:22. The Lord possessed me by the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Proverbs 8:22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Proverbs 8:22. Children, please stand for Bible class. Would you open your Bibles this morning to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6. Now let me help you. If you'll open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and then back up some pages, that will help you find the book of Zechariah. I'm not insulting your intelligence today because I realize that most of you would be able to find the book of Zechariah. But I want to make it easy for all of you. So I know you can find the book of Matthew, find that book, and then begin your journey backing up. All you have to do is go back through Malachi, and then before you know it, you're right there on the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Our purpose for being here today, as all of you are fully aware, the purpose of being here is to study God's Word. We're aware of the fact that we are not going to be able to be successful in life unless we are able to see from a divine vantage point, see from a vertical viewpoint, see as God sees. The ability to see as God sees can only come to us as individual born-again believers. It's to have our minds and hearts, first of all, captivated with the person of Jesus Christ and saturated with his word. Over these past weeks, most of you are aware of the fact that we have been studying the subject of an angel who disobeyed, an angel beautiful, magnificent, wonderful, with a position of responsibility, who disobeyed and fell, Lucifer. Most of you are aware of the fact that over the past weeks we've analyzed why you and I are here on this earth. I'm sure that you are keenly aware of the fact that a few weeks ago, months ago, years ago, you were born. Now, that doesn't take a lot of intelligence for you and me to be aware of that. I'm not sure just exactly what hospital, where you were when you were born. Whether you were born in Texas or some other state, that's really not the issue. The issue is that you were born on this planet. And over a period of weeks, months, and years, you've lived on this planet. And perhaps you've thought about it, perhaps you haven't. But we've been reminding you over the last weeks of the fact that you've been placed here by the Heavenly Father for a specific reason. There's a purpose and a reason for your existence and my existence. We're here because God wants us here. If that was not His plan, we wouldn't be here. I'm trying to just let you think for a few moments about yourself and the fact that you've been born, you're alive, you're sitting in this auditorium or you're listening somewhere to my voice today, and you're aware of the fact of your existence. There's a reason for your being here. You may ask the question, why is it that God would have me here with my type of personality, my type of lifestyle? Why is it that I'm here? And the answer to that is that God has each one of us here for the purpose of bringing honor and glory to His name. When He made it possible for you and me to be here, He made it possible for you and me to have a purpose and a reason for our lifetime, however long that is. It may be a few years, it may be many years. We're here now, we're alive, our hearts are beating, we're breathing, we're here. And there's a reason for us being here. We fully comprehended the fact over the past weeks that we're here because there is in our midst a great, tremendous conflict. It's referred to as the conflict of the ages, the battle of the ages, the angelic conflict. There's a warfare going on, and there's a reason for your existence and my existence. And that is to bring glory and honor to God. We have the responsibility of realizing that no one else has the responsibility for you as an individual or for me as an individual than for you personally or for me personally. We've been made aware of the fact that God has made us lower than angels. But for the specific purpose of resolving a conflict of the ages, which we call, again, the battle of the ages, the angelic conflict, the conflict of the ages. This magnificent book we have is a book that tells us how to be triumphant and victorious in life. Most of us have already concluded the fact that God has an individual personal plan for us, and that plan centers around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is so unique is that the Bible presents so many facets related to our relationship to Him. All the way back to the first verses of Genesis and following yourself through that magnificent book of Genesis and then on through the books of the Old Testament into the New Testament, and you'll discover that there is a presentation of the reason and the purpose for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as the God-man, the Savior of the world. The book of Zechariah is an interesting book. We discover that Zechariah was an instrument of God as a prophet. I'm aware of the fact that theologians will say that there are major prophets and minor prophets. And I want to assure you that I do not consider any prophet as a minor prophet. They conclude that the reason for calling major and minor prophets is based upon the amount of content. But Zechariah is a man of God with a tremendous message related to a lot of different subjects. So much of the book of Zechariah has to do with the tribulation, with the millennium, with the work of God in relationship to the end time. What is interesting to me is that this book presents what is classified as the angel of God. I must stop myself and say that we need to pray. And our prayer should be that we would be able to comprehend what is the reason and the purpose for my personal existence on the earth. We'll continue in just a moment. Father, we are aware of the fact that you've put us in this auditorium today and you've allowed us to be here to give consideration to the reason for our existence and for the fact that we have a reason and a purpose for our life, however long it's going to be. We pray that we will understand today that the Word of God has tremendous, powerful messages for our hearts and that we are to be aware of the importance of hearing what God's Word has to say. Bless us in these moments of study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to put on the screen this morning some verses of Scripture. And I would ask you, if you will, please, to turn in your Bibles to these verses. The first one is found in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 9. I'll put this on the screen for you to be able to see. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 9. Then we'll be looking at Zechariah chapter 2, verse 3. Then we'll be looking at Zechariah chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. The reason I'm doing this is because I want you to see specifically what we have in this magnificent book of Zechariah. Please notice, if you will, when you look at Zechariah chapter 1, go down to verse 9. Then I said, "My Lord, what are these?" And then you need to underline, "And the angel who was speaking with me said to me, 'I will show you what these are.' The man who was standing among the myrtle trees answered and said, 'These are those whom the Lord has sent to patrol the earth.' So they answered." Now, they answered the angel of the Lord who was standing among the myrtle trees and said, "We have patrolled the earth, and behold, all the earth is peaceful and quiet." chapter 1, verse 11. So they answered, notice please, the angel of the Lord, who was standing among the myrtle trees, and said, we have patrolled the earth, and behold, all the earth is peaceful and quiet. Zechariah 1:12. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou have no compassion for Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, with which thou hast been indignant these 70 years? Verse 13, and the Lord answered the angel who was speaking with me with gracious words, comforting words. Notice again, verse 14, so the angel who was speaking with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and Zion, but I am very angry with the nations who are at ease. For while I was only a little angry, they furthered the disaster. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will return to Jerusalem with compassion. My house will be built in it, declares the Lord of hosts, and a measuring line will be stretched over Jerusalem. Again proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion, again choose Jerusalem. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there were four horns. So I said to the angel who was speaking with me, what are these? He answered me, these are the horns which have shattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. Glance, if you will, please, to chapter 2. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a man with increasing measuring line in his hand. So I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see how wide it is and how long it is. Notice verse 3. And behold, the angel who was speaking with me was going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him and said to him, run, speak to that young man, saying, Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls because of the multitude of men and cattle within it. For I declare the Lord will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory of her midst. Glance, if you will, over to chapter 4, verse 5. And the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, governor, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. On the screen you see some words, God's messages to and through the prophets, generally came by direct moving of spirit upon the mind of the man of God. But when I came to the book of Zechariah, here in this book, the Heavenly Father makes use of angels who talk back and forth, and I just read it to you, to the prophet. In our study of the Word of God, we discover that angels play a large part in directing the panorama of the plan of God. What I notice here is that there is an emphasis upon the statement, the angel of God. When you find the expression, the angel of God, in the scripture, you find what is known as a theophany. And you also find in the New Testament an emphasis upon what is known as a Christophany. We're going to spend a few moments today just analyzing those two words. Theophany. The word theophany from the Greek, theophania, is the word which means appearance, showing of God. It refers to the appearance of a deity, to a human, or to a divine disclosure. When you talk about the angel of God, it presents an appearance of God or divine messengers to a human or group of humans, typically in material form, or when the recipients are in a dreamlike state. When I look at the word theophany, I understand that it means a visible appearance of God in bodily form in Old Testament times. I repeat that word because I believe it needs to be understood. An appearance of God or divine messenger to a human or a group of humans, typically in material form or when the recipients are in a state of reception. A visible appearance of God in bodily form in Old Testament times. The one who appears is the second person of the Trinity. What is so magnificent is that the Lord Jesus Christ, deity too, was manifested over and over, time and time again, in the Old Testament. A theophany is an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. A Christophany is an appearance of Jesus Christ after the resurrection. What is so interesting to me is that the words that are used here in the Old Testament and then translated into the Greek, you have before the angel of God the article, the, which is a emphasis upon the fact that there is a manifestation of the importance of this particular angel. Angels were used of God over and over again, but this is a presentation of the manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, in the time of the Old Testament. The one who appears in Joshua chapter 5, verse 14, and chapter 6, verse 2, and throughout the Old Testament, we discover that the appearance is the manifestation of the second person of the Trinity, an appearance of God to a human or to a group of people. As, for instance, the burning bush experience, in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. Or the pillar of cloud or fire leading the people in the book of Numbers chapter 14, verse 14. A theophany. Christophany, an appearance of Christ to his disciples, for instance, after the crucifixion. What is so beautiful is that when we come to the study of the book of Zechariah, we have an emphasis upon how angels played a large part in directing the panorama of the plan of God. When I saw this, I came to the conclusion that what I needed to do is to say, before seeing the ministry of angels in the life of Zechariah, let's check a few New Testament examples of the ministry of angels. I will not have time to give a lot of these, but let me give a few. Number one, angels had a great part in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Angels had a great part in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. To give you an example, number one, an angel foretold to Mary the birth of Jesus. I plan to read these verses, but time would not allow to do all of this. But let me ask you to write these verses down. If you go to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 37, you will find an enlightening and challenging passage of Scripture where an angel foretold to Mary the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 1, 26 to 37. Please record that and look it up and read it. You'll find it so challenging. Number two, an angel foretold to Joseph the birth of the Savior. We all remember how Joseph was frustrated and confused in relationship to finding that the one whom he loved so much and was getting ready to marry, he found that she was expecting a baby and he was concerned about this. An angel came and took care of that situation. In Matthew chapter 1, 20 and 21, an angel foretold to Joseph the birth of the Savior. Number three, angels announced to shepherds the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. You may want to read that and find how interesting it is. Angels announced to shepherds the birth of Jesus. We're talking about angels. Luke 2, 8 through 15. Number four, an angel directed the child's flight to Egypt. In Matthew chapter 2, 13 and 20. I'm not sure how you would like to take all this down, but you need to look these verses up. An angel directed the child's flight to Egypt. Matthew 2, 13, 20. We're emphasizing the fact that God used angels. Number five, angels ministered to Jesus at his temptation. Beautifully presented to us in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 11. Angels ministered to Jesus at his temptation. Number six, an angel rolled away the stone at the tomb. This is presented to us in Matthew, chapter 28, verse 2. Beautifully presenting the fact that an angel rolled away the stone at the tomb. Matthew 28, 2. Number seven, his resurrection announced by an angel in Matthew 28, 5, 6, and 7. What are we doing this morning? We're beginning to see again how God used angels throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament. We see beautifully how God used angels. Number eight, two angels presented him to Mary Magdalene in the 20th chapter of John, verses 11 through 14. Two angels presented him to Mary Magdalene. What is so wonderful is that God has used angels. And God used angels in the life of this prophet, Zechariah. We see here a beautiful presentation of a manifestation of Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, expressed in the words, the angel of God. Major division number two. Angels were very active when we come to the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation. On the screen, I have for you a little outline. Angels were very active in the book of Revelation. For instance, number one, an angel dictated the book The book of Revelation, beautifully depicted in Revelation 1, 2 and 22, 16. We see the power and the utilization of angels. An angel dictated the book of Revelation. Number two, this is so amazing. Each of the seven churches had an angel. And this is presented to us in Revelation 1:20, chapter 2, verse 1, and other verses of Scripture. When you study the seven churches of Asia Minor, you will discover that each one of these churches is presented as having an angel, a messenger. Each of the seven churches had an angel. Number three, an angel was interested in the sealed book in Revelation chapter 5, verse 2. Angels are beautiful, magnificently presented in the Word of God. Number three, I found this very interesting. The Scripture reveals the fact that 100 million angels sang praises to the Lamb. 100 million angels. And this is found in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Number four, an angel sealed the elect in Revelation 7, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. An angel used of God to seal the elect in Revelation 7, 1 through 4. Number five, angels fell down on their faces before God. This is magnificently presented to us in the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 11. Revelation 7, 11. Angels fell down on their faces before God. Number six, an angel is directing the prayers of the saints. In the eighth chapter of the book of Revelation, verses 3, 4, and 5, an angel directing the prayers of the saints. Revelation 8, 3, 4, and 5. Number 7, we discover again how God used angels. Seven angels sounded seven trumpets in the eighth chapter of the book of Revelation, verses 6 and 7. I'm sure that many of you would like to look these verses up. Number eight, an angel had the open book announcing the end. An angel had the open book announcing the end in Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, verse 2, verse 6. An angel. We're talking about how God used angels. Number nine, a flying angel proclaimed the gospel to the nations. And this is presented to us in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation. A flying angel proclaimed the gospel to the nations. Revelation 14, 6. These are just a few of the 27 different references to the activities of angels in the book of Revelation. Now, back to the book of Zechariah. Angels, the Scripture teaches us, aided in the writing of this book. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 9, the angel who was speaking with me said to me, "I will show you what these are." And when you look at chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "And behold, the angel who was speaking with me was going out, and another angel coming out to meet him." And when I go to Zechariah 4, 5, and 6, here's what I read. "So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, 'Do you not know what these are?' Which was a reference to the olive trees. And I said, 'No, my Lord, I do not understand. I do not know.' Then The angel answered and said, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." Zerubbabel was the governor, saying, and here's what we need to memorize: not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What a magnificent emphasis that you and I need to pick up today and put down into our minds and hearts. This is the saying of the Lord to us. Not only to Zerubbabel the governor at that time, but you must understand, I must understand, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. When I think in terms of your life and mine, and when I think in terms of this angelic conflict, and I understand that in the eternal ages past, God made plans for you and me to be born at a specific time in history. And when that plan was made in the eternal ages past, it was not an accident. It was on purpose. It was a divine plan. And so your existence and my existence was eternally planned. Your existence is not an accident. You're here, I'm here, on purpose. It's amazing to me when I think about this. Here we are, as little individuals, placed on this earth. Why am I here? Why are you here? What's the reason for our having been born? The number of years that the Lord wants us to be on the earth. What's the purpose and the reason for all of this? And then I discover that He says, I have you here because you're an instrument of mine for the purpose of resolving a conflict. And this conflict can only be solved in relationship to the fulfillment of the plan of God in the individual believer's life, which includes your life and mine. It should be startling to us. It should be shocking to us. It should be a revelation to us to understand that we're in this auditorium today. We've been born. We are living now. And there's a reason and a purpose and a plan for our existence. Made a little lower than angels, of course. But He's made us for the purpose of bringing a solution to this great conflict. And the conflict is huge, tremendous, amazing, gigantic, and we're responsible. How can we be an instrument in God's hand for the solution to this particular conflict? The only way that we can be what we should be for this to be resolved is for Jesus Christ to be preeminent in our lives and for our lives to be saturated with His thinking, His mind, His purpose, His design for our day-by-day activity. I wonder if you ever think about that. I wonder if I think about it as I should. Are we here just by accident? Are we here just as a result of the fact that our mother and daddy were responsible for our coming on the scene? Oh, they were instruments, but God was responsible for you coming on the scene. God used them, of course, but God saw fit for you and me to be on this earth at this particular time. The angel of God that we find in Zechariah is an emphasis upon the fact of the second person of the Trinity. And the second person of the Trinity theophany in the Old Testament, Christophany in the New Testament, theophany. The purpose of the second person of the Trinity is to bring about fulfillment of God's plan for your life and mine. We must be very serious about why we're here. May we pray together, please. Father, we are aware of the fact today that we must give serious consideration to the fact that you have allowed us to be alive at this particular moment in history. It's interesting to just stop and think about it and to be keenly aware of the fact that it is not an accident that we're here. It's not an accident that we're in this auditorium. It's not an accident that we're hearing this message today. It is not an accident. It's on purpose. It is your plan for us to be here. And we are responsible for being a part of that solution to the angelic conflict, to resolve the conflict of the ages. There's a warfare going on. We are aware of that. This warfare is on the one hand, the deity side. On the other hand, the satanic side. We have the responsibility of understanding without doubt that we have the responsibility of being on the deity side, fulfilling that specific plan that you have for us as an individual. As I stand here and look over this auditorium, I'm aware of the fact that in this auditorium today, there are people of all ages. There are children here today. There are young people here today. There are teenagers here today. There are young adults here today. Middle-aged adults. Older adults. Some of us have been on this earth for a number of years. It is not an accident that we're here. We know that you have a reason and a purpose and a plan. Help us not to go through life and not fulfill the plan that you have for us. And as we close this service today, there may be someone hearing my voice who's never even begun. They haven't even started a relationship with Jesus Christ. But they can do that today. Because the Bible says that God loved the world and Christ died for everyone. And salvation is a gift from God to mankind. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We realize that there may be someone today who is aware of the fact that their greatest need is to believe and to become a member of the family of God. The Bible says if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have that life. It was Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. We're keenly aware of the fact today that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. Because he said, I am the way. He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one is able to come to the Father except through him. We pray that there will be those right now who will pray and accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. And we thank you again for your wonderful grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.